everybody. This is Hector.
This is Vincent.
And welcome to the Faith and Fandom Podcast.
Yay!
Today, this is a specific Ready Player One edition of the podcast. You can't laugh yet. Stop.
I didn't laugh.
Stop. That was a chortle. Is that the right word? Chortle? It wasn't a chuckle.
What does that mean?
Chortle. I think that's the right word, though. It's like a guffaw. Anyway, kids, check your vocabulary. It's always important. This is a Ready Player One discussion.
How about dictionaries?
Well, everyone's got a dictionary. Their phone is a dictionary.
I'm talking about real dictionaries.
Nobody has those. Okay, this is so off topic.
Sorry.
But this is a discussion of Ready Player One, specifically the movie versus the book. Vincent and I were both readers of the book, and at this point in time, I've watched the movie 3 times in theaters, and Vincent has has watched it 1 of the times in the theaters.
That's all I'm watching it in the theaters.
Oh, man, I'll be like that. All right, so, I initially, like, the day after I watched it, gave a review on the Faith and Fandom Facebook page, and I don't necessarily stand by my review at this point. I feel like I need to give it a little more love and grace than I did. But I'll go ahead and let Vincent give his thoughts. So, spew, sir.
I was very disappointed. And I try very hard in movies, especially when they're compared to books. I haven't seen The Wrinkle in Time yet, just because I haven't finished the book. And talking to some people, I was like, never mind. So I probably am going to go see that. But this movie, I was so excited for because I was like, this book is amazing. It's going to be awesome. There's so much death. And, like, I was excited. But then I saw the previews, and I was deeply confused on, which is also another thing I stopped doing, is watching trailers. So I just cut those out.
I need trailers for memes. That's, like, part of my reality. Not like I get paid for it.
No.
But it's part of what we do.
I feel like unless I'm creating something, I don't need to see a trailer.
Yeah.
But on that note, I did not enjoy. I enjoyed it for what it was, a movie about the Oasis. Was it anything like the book?
Yes, it was like the book.
It was like the book, like, I don't know, Pikachu's a mouse.
It's not that off, man.
No, it's that off. It's like Pikachu's a mouse and the book is Ready Player One. Because if you read that and think about it, and I'm not even trying to, like bash the movie. If you thought about it, that is not the same book. That's not the same story. As, like, the plot is the same, but that's about it. And the character names.
Well, I mean, and I think you get to see a lot of who the characters are, but, like, I had some beef coming out the gate with it. Like, one of my biggest beefs is that the challenges are different.
All of the challenges, except the last one, is different.
Yeah, and that's a big deal. And there were more challenges than just the initial challenge, too.
Exactly.
So, I mean, there's a lot of challenge missing. But one of the biggest things for...
like when he goes into the arcade, that whole realm by himself, and finds that one coin.
Yeah.
Instead of it just flipping to some butler man, some concierge...
They had to do something because if they were going to have to pay Simon Pegg to be in that movie,
I guess.
Yeah, they didn't give him more to do than just be Og. And how did they not go visit Og?
How did they not go visit Og? Like, what? That's the biggest beef I had with that.
But anyway, like, my thing is, and I mentioned this in the review, is they cut out the whole school element.
Yeah.
And if you're familiar with the book, literally like the first 9 chapters of the book,
he's in school.
And one of the big aspects of the story is what it looks like to be a teenager, to be in school in that environment.
2048.
And that, yeah. And to do that. And that's a big deal to 2045, sir. Get your life right.
Oh, sorry. 3 years ahead.
Yeah. That's a big deal. Because, you know, I'll be dead by then. Maybe I won't be dead by 2045. I'll be dead by 2048. I called it.
What?
I will be. Think about it. That's my age. I'll be dead.
Yeah.
So anyway,
that's sad,
right? A little bit of morbidity. But anyway, like the school aspect was so big and so important, and that, you know, that every kid went to high school in the Oasis, that they did all these things in the Oasis was such a big deal, and that Halliday didn't hide the first key, like in some far off distant world. He literally hid it
right there
in the high school. He hid the key to be that it was part of the map, was to look like their high school. And so it literally gave every kid
the opportunity to find this key.
It gave every kid more so than every adult.
And I don't, I think that was the whole, that's what one thing that was missing throughout the whole story is, like, this isn't for adults to play this game. This isn't for, and I mean, that's the whole premise of the book is, like, this is a game, yes, and yes, you can escape through the Oasis, but this is a, the most of the people that are playing are teenagers.
Yeah.
Or 11-year-olds.
Well, I mean, it really is for everybody, and it's the fact that anybody of all ages could play, but yeah. it bugged me because I thought, my heart sank so early in the movie when he said, some random, long-forgotten Gunter discovered the first clue. There would be no such thing as a random, long-forgotten Gunter. One, the contest had only been going...
5 years?
5 years.
How do you lose track of someone in 5 years?
And, like...
In 2045. What?
And literally, the first person to discover the first clue would not be forgotten.
No.
They would be immortalized as Parzival was, and that's why it was such a big deal that Parzival discovered.
IOI would be all over that.
IOI would have been all over that. I mean, it's just, I think that one line alone
caught... There's so many holes in that story, in the movie.
I don't think they're holes. I think there's just rushed. I think they just rushed through.
Stephanie said that too. My wife, Stephanie, she hasn't read the book, and I have, and she said it felt rushed the whole movie, especially towards the end. Like, that whole part just felt rushed. And I actually think they did okay with the ending. I didn't like...
I felt like the ending was better than any of the rest of it. Like, yes. That's the heart and stuff. And I'll come back to that, because I actually had one part of the movie that actually kind of spoke to me a little more than in the book, just a little. But
the book was amazing.
Now, and that's on the flip side, though.
He's a great writer.
And Ernest, but how do you feel in the fact that he wrote the movie?
Did he write the movie?
Yeah. Ernest Cline co-wrote the entire screenplay for the movie. So everything you saw, everything that you're having beef with, the creator of the book signed off on.
There's grace for everyone.
Grace for everyone. But no, he signed off on it. He was down for it.
But I think...
Now, here's the thing, though. Vincent and I are both Donald Miller fans. And Donald Miller had a book called A Million Miles in a Thousand Years, in which he talks about the process of turning Blue Like Jazz, which is so not a movie-written book, into a feature-length movie, about how many things have to change and how you have to pace the storytelling. Yeah. And so I honestly viewed a lot of what I saw on screen through the lens of A Million Miles in a Thousand Years of, yeah, this isn't the exact story, but if you got 2.5 hours to tell that story, they did about as good as they could.
I think Blue Like Jazz is different, though.
No, but just think about it. If you only had 2.5 hours to tell the entire story of Ready Player One, they did about as good as humanly possible.
Yeah.
Because literally, that's not a two and a half hour story. Ready Player One is a 2-season Netflix series.
Easily.
I mean, because the first season should have ended with him getting the copper key.
The first key.
Like, it should have been that. It should have been developing the relationship with Age. It should have been
meeting Art. That could have been a 3-season thing. Like, each key.
Yeah, and that's what I think. I think they could have done that. They could have ended with that. And not even... No, I would say it would be a straight-up 4-season Netflix series, because you do one key per thing.
And then
the last season...
Gordon Ott's house.
Yeah, the last season would be the castle.
Yeah.
And everything that follows.
Yeah.
But that's just one of the big things is how different it was. But also, it was super rushed in the fact that the story of the movie lasted like a week. Like, yeah. this all happened in a week's time. Like, there was no downtime. There was no processing.
Go, go, go. You're just like, well, it's a little overwhelming. I thought the movie was a little overwhelming. I guess I could take breaks in books, obviously, but...
He's got an adult for a second. And that's, you can take breaks in it, but the thing is, the timeline of the movie is just so rushed compared to the book. The book, the story lasts about the course of a year. Like, there's a 6-month window between Parzival finding the first key and the second. So he goes from being instantly famous and rich. And it wasn't just rich because he got 100,000 coin. He was rich because he started getting sponsorship deals. And he started becoming like Jordan and LeBron of the video game world. So his life changed. And we didn't get to see any of that. No. You know, we saw nothing of what his life actually looked like. And by the time the trailer blew up, he was actually rich. And so it's a big deal that it happened so quickly. And it happened. I mean, it's just, you lose a lot of the heart of what the story was. And so, we're laughing. My 4-year-old confused Jax Teller with I-Rock. I took my kids to see Ready Player One.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I took my kids to see, on my third go round, like, I was just so fed up with not being able to talk about the story with them, so I took them. And so they enjoyed it, and we'll talk about that in a second, but like, if you look on Netflix, the Netflix image for Sons of Anarchy, has a skull on Jackson Teller's back, and it looks like I-Rock's chest. So we were flipping through Netflix last night, and Carmen's like, "Dad, it's the guy from Ready Player One. Can we watch it?" And I'm like, "No, nah, baby. That's not Ready Player One.
This is a different show."
Which, and then another thing is the fact that the elements that were added to the book or to the movie to be more entertaining to the general populace. Now, here's the deal: I did not disagree with how the Shining scene went. I thought the Shining scene was actually pretty entertaining, and it was nice to be surprised.
I didn't like the whole not quoting the whole movie.
Like what?
Like he did in the book. Like in the book, he was supposed to quote the whole entire movie. In the Shining, what was he supposed to be doing?
Yeah, but the Shining wasn't even in the book.
I know.
What movie are you talking about? War Games?
Yes.
Yeah. He, in the book, he had to be able to basically live out the movie of War Games. And in the book, you know, in the movie, he was supposed to live out War Games. And in the, I'm so tongue-tied. In the
book, he's playing War Games.
Yeah.
Well, he's the character in War Games. In the movie, he is just in The Shining.
Yeah, but it was entertaining, and it was a cute twist.
It was great. I think that was one of the aspects I wasn't terribly mad at, because, like, it's The Shining. Everyone knows it. No one knows what War Games is.
Yeah, it would be hard to translate War Games into a current setting. Yeah, I get that.
I do. That change I wasn't mad at, but I think the whole, like, being, like, they changed Artemis to being in the slave camp.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It was supposed to be a long, drawn-out plan where Wade went into the slave camp. But here's, again, that's a good storytelling, because that tying that in with her dad.
Yes.
And it escalated the time frame of the story exponentially. Yeah. Because if Wade would have had to have taken the time to create a false identity and infiltrate, that was way hard to translate to book or to film. But I think they nailed it as far as doing it in the movie, and I wasn't mad at that. I really do think they did the best you could with a feature-length film. But in reality, Ready Player One needed to be like 3 or 4 seasons.
Oh, yeah.
But for what they did, I enjoyed it. Now, you know, trying to not hate on it, Because I get it's easy to do when you're passionate about some things. Now, but my problem with the Shining parts and some of the other elements is, like, they made it way less kid-friendly than it could have been.
Shining wasn't that... I don't even feel like The Shining was dark. Shining is super dark. It's a horror film. It's great. But I feel like they just took everything from The Shining and put all the bad things into one scene.
Well, it's not even like the... You know, I had to give my kids a pep talk before we watched this movie. Because I know that some always of my kids get scared at Doctor Who episodes. So
some of Doctor Who episodes are scary.
Some Doctor Who episodes are scary, but my kids get scared at those. So I had to give them a pep talk. I was like, look, there's going to be a zombie lady and she's going to like be naked for a minute. Then she's going to turn into a zombie. But I'm like, H isn't going to get hurt. Nobody's going to be really hurt in this. And, you know, and they had to prep themselves for it. And, you know, I had one cover their eyes, one look through their fingers, and one just, you know, try to be brave. But it was like they were more scared going into it. And, you know, it's like that. And then why drop an F-bomb if you can make it through the whole movie? Like, literally.
That was pointless.
You could have made it through that entire film and not dropped an F-bomb, and it would have been that. And then...
I curse a lot. That was pointless.
You need to get your life right. But they...
It is what it is.
No, it's not. It is what it needs to be. Get your life right, man. Don't play that crap off.
It's just my language.
No, it's not. You choose your language to get your life right. anyway. They threw in that... And then I really felt like they used... fecal matter way often. Like, I felt like that was a every other word. Poop.
Oh.
Shiitake mushrooms.
Oh, I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
I was like, I don't remember them talking about poop.
No. But I'm trying not to be like you, Vincent. I'm trying not to curse on my podcast.
I'm curse on your podcast. I know when not to curse.
He curses on the podcast all the time. I just edit it out.
No, I do not. That's a lot of editing.
I've only had to do that once, not with you.
I was going to say, I usually try to watch my mouth.
But, you know, it was that thing of, like, adding Chucky in, I didn't even really mind, but why gotta drop an F-bomb? You could have made it through this entire film and didn't add it, but they used the S-word, like, so often. Like, it was, like, every other word.
They didn't curse that much in the book.
No, they didn't. That's the thing, like, I get you're trying to be expressive, but you can make better vocabulary than this.
They're teenagers.
They are teenagers, and I get it, but...
My teenagers curse a lot.
and maybe that is it. Maybe it is teenagers, and I just expect more. But, you know, it was a deeper element.
Yeah.
But, so let's bypass all the things you don't like. What are the things you like the most? For me, I can say this. Seeing Serenity on screen twice made my heart happy, because Serenity has not been on screen.
Yeah.
In 15 years. No, 13 years. It's been 13 years since Serenity, the ship from Firefly, was on the big screen. And, yeah, it was really great to see it not only be in a cameo, but, like, to actually have a function in the movie. So that was cool.
I agree. I liked the whole nostalgia aspect, the whole 80s aspect. Like that there was Godzilla and...
Well, that was book too.
I know the book that was Godzilla, and I like the things that they kept from the book, like the whole, I don't know, there was a lot of things that I did like I did like the dance scene, even though that was like
they wouldn't have danced to disco because I'm pretty sure the disco sucks.
And disco wasn't around really in the 80s.
Well, no, but like I think there was an actual thing referenced in the book that disco sucks.
Yeah.
If anything, they would have danced to Thriller.
Yeah.
But I get it. You've got
dancing.
You've got dancing. You've got to do that, and that's fine. That was cute and all. And here's the deal. I don't even remember I-Rock in the book. I'm not saying he's not in the book.
I don't either.
But he did not stand out. Like, when I think back of the book of Ready Player One, and maybe he's not in. I haven't reread it since the movie.
Is he in the book?
I don't know. I legitimately don't
know. I don't either.
I don't remember I-Rock, but here's, you know, TJ Miller is just funny, and I get adding some comedic element. And he was like, I don't think I've heard my wife laugh as much at anything as she laughed at IROC.
IROC was funny.
The last thing that she laughed at that much was Jumanji. Oh, the new one's hilarious. It's super hilarious. But just like,
over the rock.
Don't be over the rock. The rock's great.
It's doing entirely too much for me.
In the Honest trailer for Jumanji, which they were really good with. They weren't even super bashy with it. They're like, you know, let's just go ahead and face it. The Rock is going to be the second least qualified president of all time. but they...
I don't know. I wouldn't vote for The Rock.
I would vote for The Rock in a heartbeat.
I don't know his political views.
I know his character. I know his determination. I know his conflict skills. I'd be down for The Rock.
I know his determination. He has one cheat day a year. That's a lot.
He's what?
One cheat day a year.
No, I would vote for The Rock. Anyway.
Based on food preferences, yes, but that's about it.
I'm just saying, maybe not movie choices, but on... Anyway, we're totally veering off. So, anyway, I totally lost where we're going.
Ready Player One.
Oh, yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Oh, my gosh.
But with it, one of the other things that I really enjoyed... I felt like the entire time that Halliday was doing a Dana Carvey impersonation.
Yes!
like the entire...
I do not feel like this is his...
No, I'm not even saying it was wrong.
It wasn't wrong, but it's just weird.
I just really felt like, I was like, why is Dana Carvey not doing this? Because this guy is obviously doing Dana Carvey. And Halliday literally was Dana Carvey in this movie. And you should have got Dana Carvey to play him. But you know what? I thought IROC was a fun addition. I think his Funko Pop looks like garbage.
I haven't seen his Funko
Pop. His Funko Pop is highly disappointing. Compared to how, like, vicious he looks as a character.
Yeah.
His Funko Pop is highly disappointing. But whatever. There's some other things that I really enjoy. I enjoyed seeing Serenity. I enjoyed that. I
liked seeing a Gundam on screen too.
Yeah, and
that was awesome.
In the book, it was Ultraman. Yeah. And if I'm super honest, I'll totally choose a Gundam.
Yeah.
Over Ultraman.
I would choose a Gundam over Ultraman any day.
Yeah, and so that was a neat touch. One of the things that we've heard though is that using the Iron Giant just to fight goes against the Iron Giant's character.
Yeah, that messed me up.
Because the Iron Giant, by and large, is a non-violent character.
Yeah, I watch the Iron Giant at least every 6 months, just for nostalgia, because I love that movie. But
can I be super honest?
What?
Never watched it.
Why?
Never did.
Why?
Like, I always knew it was good. I always knew
It's Vin Diesel's best role.
Shut your mouth. I always knew it was good. I always knew it was something that people enjoyed. And I knew it was something valid, but I've never actually watched it.
It's great.
I know it's great, and I know it's loved, and I have no problem with it. And I recognize the character, and I recognize why it's loved. But I've never put the 2 hours into watching it. And I should probably fix that, and I should probably watch it with the kids.
You should watch it with the kids.
It was just one of those things that I didn't do.
They might cry.
I'm sure they will. But, you know, but then again, it wasn't like saying that's the actual Iron Giant. That was H in an Iron Giant.
Costume
build, so whatever. I really enjoy the actress that plays Artemis. She was a main character on Bates Motel.
She is,
and yeah, you just now got that.
Yes,
okay,
because she looks nothing like her. She sounds like her, but that hair threw me off completely.
But like, she was one of the main reasons I got pumped when I started seeing the cast, is because I really enjoy her.
She's a great actress.
Acting ability on Bates Motel. And, you know,
I need to finish that.
I just finished it.
It's a lot.
It was season 5. The last season escalates super fast.
Season 4 is just...
Yeah.
Season 3 and 4 are so slow that it's just like...
I promise, season 5 escalates and ends quickly.
I don't know if I want it to escalate and end. It's so dark.
Oh, it gets darker faster.
Oh, gosh.
Anyway, again, not that podcast. But how did you feel about the fact that she was not a plus-size human?
I was offended.
Why were you offended?
I feel like plus girls don't get that much love nowadays. I mean, they get love, obviously, better than they did 10, 20 years ago. But I think the reason in the book, the reason that she's choosing to be Ankh and the reason that, I mean, Artemis, is to kind of hide who she is. And besides, like, the birthmark on her face, there wasn't really a reason to hide. And the birthmark was, like, super cute.
It was super cute.
It wasn't even like a, oh.
And then when she's, then when you first see her and she's walking him around the little tour area,
yeah.
I'm like, girl, you're super cute.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, like she.
I mean, she was fashionably dressed.
Yeah.
How you living in pure squalor like a hobo, but look like you just walked out of the Gap.
Like exactly. H&M just called.
Yeah. So I thought that was one of those things that Artemis, you know, they polished her up a bit too much.
Too much. I think they polished a lot of people up a little bit too much. I'm just thinking, like, the whole aspect of Wade not being, like, this bigger guy. Like, he's playing video games the majority of the day.
No, Wade isn't supposed to be bigger.
But he lost weight. In that time that he's in the apartment, he, like, gets healthy and loses a bunch of weight.
That is right. He gets in shape.
Yeah.
That is right. Well, and then one of the things is the idea that in the book that H's avatar is a white male.
Yes.
Effectively Cloud from Final Fantasy.
That was not Cloud.
And I get it, though, that you... Because what was playing in my mind the entire time is... you've seen Dogma, right?
Yes.
In Dogma, there's this speech about Darth Vader that... you know, not Dogma. I'm so sorry. It's Chasing Amy.
I was going to say, that's not the right
movie. And Chasing Amy, they, you know, it's a movie about comic books, and they have this speech in Chasing Amy that for the longest time, up, you know, in A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back, that Darth Vader is, you know, as the character in Chasing Amy puts it, the blackest man in the galaxy. Calls him a Nubian god, and they're thinking all this stuff. And then he said, but in Return of the Jedi, they remove his helmet showing that he's a feeble, crusty old white man. And then the character in Chasing Amy says, and this was telling all of black nerd culture that deep down inside, we all want to be white. And it was a show. It was an act they were putting on in Chasing Amy just to stir up the political thing.
Oh, I remember that.
He's like, and then... Because he, you know, starts shooting in the Comic-Con panel.
Yeah.
That's the scene that's always played in my head. But I feel like that's why H was changed. H's avatar was changed. Because I don't think Steven Spielberg wanted to take a role where you take a black female
and turn her into a white male. But the reason why...
The reason why, though, makes sense. But... Like, I don't think he wanted to take that hit.
I understand that. A lot of it with political views and people being super sensitive about everything. I agree. That was a smart choice. But I think if he had explained or had, like, a little monologue of H, like, saying, oh, this is what I expected. And then the whole, like, meetup thing, like, what?
I didn't mind the meetup. Now, how do you...
It's random.
How do you feel about the fact that they didn't kill Daito?
I don't hate that, but...
Do you feel like it sacrificed the story not killing Daito?
It didn't sacrifice the story too much to me, but I think it did... Like, after one of your friends dies, there's a adrenaline and passion inside of you that, like, revenge. And I don't feel like they had that as much in their relationship. I think... The whole story, I don't feel like there was a lot of passion behind what they were doing besides beating the IOA.
Yeah. Now, I'll say this. One of the things that I enjoyed the most, and I don't remember, because I finished the book. Like, I read for about 6 hours straight when I finished it. And, like, I got to, like, chapter maybe 6 and then read the whole rest of the book in one sitting. So I was in a, like... sleep deprived state at 4 o'clock in the morning when I finished the book because I was that passionate about it.
I did finish the last bit in like a day.
But the whole deal with Sorrento at the end, when he had the gun pointed at Wade, and then once he sees Wade holding the Easter egg, there's a moment where Sorrento looks like he actually has compassion, and he actually appreciates what's happening. He sees the tear going down Wade's cheek, and he starts to lower the gun, and you almost see him smile. So there's this moment of superhumanity.
Yeah.
Where the bad guy finally sees the beauty of what's really happening and decides to let it go.
Yeah.
That is probably one of my favorite moments in the movie.
Okay.
Just because I never got that in the book.
No. I don't feel like Sorrento felt bad for anything he did in the movie. In the book.
But honestly, that moment where he actually saw the egg in Wade's hands and responded in that way, that touched my soul a little bit.
Yeah.
And then honestly, I thought the whole way they did the mail truck wrap-up, like, where they kept opening the mail truck and it was a different person.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was suave. That was funny. That was suave. That was well written.
That was funny.
And I appreciated that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't... That was way better than... that was way better than... than I would have expected. And that was a really tight and neat way to wrap that up. So I did enjoy that. Now, let me hit you with this, though. So we aren't the only nerdy people in the world that have opinions. And we don't always agree with other nerdy people and their opinions. So one of the nerdy people and their opinions that I've come across in this time is by a fellow nerd faithy person. If you are familiar with our stuff, you might also be familiar with another book called 42, Finding Faith Through Fandom. Similar title, different writers, different authors, different message and heart. But Nathan Marchland and Eric Anderson wrote a book called 42, Finding Faith Through Fandom. And I interact with them on a pretty regular basis, and they do good work. But Nathan Marchland, of the 42 Finding Faith Through Fandom book, has the opinion that the book is hot garbage and that the movie is a million times better than the book. Vincent, please discuss.
Since I know Nathan, I'm gonna...
You know Nathan?
Do I?
No.
We've seen him.
No, we haven't.
Oh, never mind.
He's like on the other side of the world.
Okay, cool.
And I say, I don't have anything against Nathan. I just think that's
I don't know him.
That's a strong opinion.
That is a very strong opinion, and I don't agree.
And this was Nathan's Facebook post on March 31st. I just saw Ready Player One. It's a rare exception to the book is always better rule. Spielberg is greater than Ernest Cline.
Mm.
And my response was, I completely disagree, man. I think it's the other way around. Nathan responded with, you must have read a different book with that title. I said I enjoyed the movie, but felt it was almost a shallow, vapid experience by comparison.
Agreed.
Which is, you know, what we've kind of fleshed out. Nathan responded with, Hector, that's how I describe the novel. And he goes on to share his 2-star review of Ready Player One, the book. And, you know, that's my thought. It's just like, to most of the nerd culture I know, that they look at this book like the adult Harry Potter. Or they look at this book like...
That's exactly how I viewed it.
It's Harry Potter meets Willy Wonka. Yeah. And that's what it is. But... You know, I thought that Nathan was the only person that viewed this, but apparently he's not, because just reading through the comments, there are other people that are like, oh, good, thank God, because they were worried about all the problematic elements of the book. And I'm just like, what are you talking about?
What problematic elements is what I want to know.
And that's just the thing. Like, I think this is one of the things, though, that for me, I loved the book, and like, I don't have any problems with the book.
I don't either.
And I can't see nerdy people having problems with the book. But I, that's the thing. Everybody reads stories differently. So maybe you're hearing this and maybe you don't enjoy the book. But for me, the book was gold. But and that's one of the things I had to go back and watch the movie a second time within the week because it didn't sit well with me. And I was so shocked by the differences between the book and the movie that I couldn't enjoy the movie because I spent the whole time in shock. I think from that line of some random long forgotten Gunter on, I was like mortally wounded and couldn't enjoy it. And but then the second time I watched it, I had a ball. I had enjoyed it, and I've watched it three times, and I've watched it with the kids, and we bought some Funko Pops, and we bought the three key set, and we have all this cool stuff.
I left the movie quickly.
There were no post credits either.
I know. I figured there wasn't. What are you going to post credit? But I left the movie quickly and kind of not a rage, but very like disappointed. And that's the thing. I think the book was so something we haven't had in a really long time. For nerd culture was a book about 80s culture and video game culture and combining the two in an aspect. Because, I mean, most people who are nerds really enjoy the 80s and really enjoy kind of that nostalgia of the 80s.
Again, and that's another thing. We understood that he knew a lot about Halliday, but we didn't get a glimpse into how much he studied Halliday.
No. And the book, like, I think the only part is that you show that he's studying Halliday so much was when he's in the library, and he's mouthing the words that Halliday is saying. That's your only clue that he is actively studying, because in the book, like, there's so many times where he is like in it and looking through videos and reading over things several times over and over.
Watching again. Family Ties.
Exactly. Watching Family Ties in the background while he's playing, or like on the Oasis and still watching something that has to do with finding the key. And I think that's the only thing that was like weird. And I don't get it. I really enjoyed the book. And the movie was just very different. It's not that I hate the movie. Will I own it? No.
I will. I'll own it. Just because it's fun to watch.
Will I read it again? Will I read the book again? Probably. I don't know, actually, because I have a very long list of books that I'm reading. I might see it again. There's too many movies out right now.
There's no movies out right now that I want to see, except I'm going to see A Quiet Place tonight.
I
want
to see The Quiet Place. I was supposed to see it yesterday, but lost my wallet, so the movie passes in the night.
You can get your wife and drive on down, and we can watch it on a double date.
What are we doing? She has to work. We have dinner plans. We had dinner plans, but she can't go. Gonna go eat some meatballs.
Who goes to eat meatballs?
That's Raleigh.
For all y'all bouginess.
We're not bougie. Oh my gosh.
But that's our thoughts. And so, you know, let us know what you think. Let me just say this. I enjoyed Ready Player One. It's a great story for me. The movie was fun. And obviously there's a clash with that in the book. But, you know, let us know what you think. Any other things you want to say on it?
I love the book. If you have time, I wouldn't say it's a long read, but for people who don't read, it's a long read. It'd probably take you about 2-3 days. But it's a good read. Read it. It's great. You'll learn a lot. I listened to a lot of like old 80s music while I was reading the book, and that was fun.
So. Let me just say this. if you're hearing this, don't take it to heart like that you shouldn't watch the movie.
No.
Go enjoy it. Go have a ball.
Like, my wife, she thoroughly enjoyed it, and hasn't read the book. And she's like, I thought it was really good. And so for what it is, watch the movie first since it is out.
Yeah.
Support him.
Watch the movie before you read the book if you're going to do the
book. And then read the book. I would not say that with anything else. But watch the movie first, then read the book. Do not do that with Harry Potter.
I feel like it's about the same.
Okay.
I feel like it's about the same.
Read The Prisoner of Azkaban. No, watch The Prisoner of Azkaban, then read it.
No, what? The Prisoner of Azkaban's my favorite one.
It's my favorite book.
Oh, man.
That's my favorite book.
It's such a good book.
That Prisoner of Azkaban, Chamber of Secrets, like, three and two are...
Chamber of Secrets is a hot garbage of a book.
No, it's not.
Oh, my gosh.
I think that was the first Harry Potter I ever read. I read through Sorcerer's Stone like it was my job. And then the Chamber of Secrets, I actually took my time and read, and I really enjoyed it.
Well, I think, why are we talking about Harry Potter? But this has been,
we can never stay on topic.
This has been our Ready Player One discussion. So,
tangents.
Yeah, there is a Ready Player One chapter in book 5, but it is primarily based on the book and the comparison between being a Gunter and being a Sixer and what you're searching for.
Ooh.
Ooh. Right.
Okay.
Okay. Like, cause some of us treat our spiritual life like we're Sixers, where we're doing it for profit or gain. Mm. Or social pressure.
Look at you!
Right? It's my job. Not really, but still.
It's not your job.
It's not my job. But I get that pony, though. Not really.
No. No, we don't. That's a lie.
We don't get any of the dollars. It's all false advertising. But book 5 will be out May 2018, hopefully by Mother's Day. And Ready Player One is fun, and we hope you enjoyed any of it. And make sure, you know, just go support nerdy things so they keep happening. This is Hector and Vincent with Faith and Fandom, and we hope you have a great day.
Wakanda forever!
Stop putting that in things!